My Talkers. It's Tuesday, September 21st. You're now tuned into the Laura and Julia Show. We're going to talk about Angelina Jolie, Study of Duh, and Lady Marmalade later. But let's kick it to Julia right
all
now.
All right. So before we get into any of that, Rupert Murdoch's granddaughter, Charlotte Freed, says that HBO Succession, which is coming back like October 17th, and it is such a good show. Season one wasn't that great, but season two was fantastic, I thought.
I loved season one. Season two was better, which is so rare, but they really next leveled it. And the ending of season two.
Oh, geez.
I've been waiting.
And that show is based on a media conglomerate where the patriarch decided he wanted to retire. And the siblings were all trying to figure out who's going to take over, what's my in, what's my this, what's my that, with the empire. And then the dad decides, maybe not. Well, this exact same thing happened to the Rupert Murdoch family in the 90s, when the dad decides he wants to be out of the business, and then the kids are all vying for their position, and the dad comes back and says,
I'm going to stay.
So his granddaughter, Charlotte Freed, and it's F-R-E-U-D, not Freud. She says that she feels like this show has been plucked from her memories as a child, and people have treated her like crap her whole life because of the success of her family. Well, Charlotte is Elizabeth Murdoch, which is Rupert Murdoch's daughter's daughter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Charlotte, but she's restyled herself to have a different name, Tarlie, T-I-A-R-L-I-E. And this is Elizabeth Murdoch, and she married her second husband, who was a PR guru, Matthew Freed. He was 57. So in an interview, she right now is engaged in living with her rapper boyfriend in East London.
Okay.
And she says it's not based on us, but there are certain bits that I feel like came from my childhood. It echoes the real-life power struggle of the three Murdoch children, Elizabeth, Lachlan, and James, to fight for control of the conglomerate in the late 90s before their father's shock decision. Oops, I changed my mind and I'm not going anywhere. And she said Charlotte, who's a huge fan, or Tarlie, she's a huge fan of Succession. She feels like Shiv, the character Shiv.
Yep.
Is kind of style.
The redhead.
Yep, emulates her mom. And so she said, you know, people think I was born in this charm life, but my parents did not spoil me. They never gave me or my siblings a huge allowance.
Mm-hmm.
She went to a big boarding school, but she got kicked out for smoking cigarettes.
Oh.
Kind of like I was kicked off the tennis team for smoking cigarettes.
Shame.
Back in the day, shame.
You would have been so good.
Shame. I would have made it up to first doubles.
You would have.
I would have. So, and she said teachers would always, at her boarding school, would always try to kind of knock her down a peg because of who she was, which I believe. So she got engaged to this dude. She's 21.
Yeah.
Her DJ fiance, Lucky Story, is 35 over this past summer. So they met when they worked at this private club called the Lalo. He was a DJ. She was a waitress. But here's what they say is Story was her former using buddy during her years of ketamine addiction.
Ketamine.
I had to look this up.
Ketamine. You need to look up ketamine today?
Yeah. What the addiction is. I've never heard of having a ketamine addiction. She said she tried coke. It made her feel sick. But after doing her first line of ketamine, she thought, I'm addicted. And this is primarily used, isn't it, as an
anesthesia. Yeah. Ketamine is, it's one of the number one abused drugs right now.
Am I that out of the drug scene?
I mean, that's not a bad thing to be.
Jeez, I never even heard of this.
And
I would be
also
afraid of anything white because it could all have fentanyl in it.
And then, well,
scary stuff.
I know.
I don't think that people using ketamine aren't worried about that as much. And also there's ketamine therapy where you can, you sit down, you lay down or whatever you want to do. You usually have headphones on and you take ketamine. It's supposed to like help with therapy and stuff. But ketamine is widely abused right now.
I am out of it. I'm so.
I think it's okay to be not in the know with every new.
But so her DJ went into a 12-step program and then she he wanted her to sing because she's a singer on one of his mixtapes. and they reconnected, but she realized it wasn't going to work because she was on the drugs, and she stopped, and she's sober. So that's good news. But again, she's 21, he's 35. And they called her K Angel due to her frequent use of this. They're calling it the horse tranquilizer drug.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She said, I was this crazy party girl, but it was a persona. And cocaine made her feel sick, but after her first ketamine, she thought, I'm addicted. And she said her family's had huge scandals all around it. After her parents divorced, she moved in with the fun parent, her dad. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what's happening with Denise Richards' daughter, Sam, who moved in with Charlie Sheen,
yeah,
the fun parent. And she said she hit bottom, had medical emergencies, but nothing stopped her until she fell in love with this guy. So anyway, so you know all about this. So I had to look her up and everything. So
yeah, I don't know too much about her. Was checking in on some of her stuff. I'm actually surprised at how much she doesn't have a presence on social media. Like, I think that she's only recently joined. I think, and like recently taken on this Tyrely or whatever.
Okay. She kind of has a Doris Duke chin.
Yeah, it's hard to pay attention to her chin.
If anyone knows what I'm talking about.
Because she has
the biggest boobs you've ever seen in your life,
boobs
and they're
ever
natural.
Seen. And I'm not even being,
and they're
like,
natural.
I'm not being like, I'm not someone who's like, whoa, look at those bazongas. But yeah. I'm just telling you, they are huge.
And
like,
they
look uncomfortable.
No, and they're
huge.
Real.
Yeah, well, they seem so.
Right.
I mean, I don't.
Yeah. Okay, but anywho.
But yeah, I mean, I
kind of like knowing who she is now because I like knowing her perspective on succession and that she's kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's really interesting. I was reading an article about how she feels a huge sense of guilt with her addiction and how that's affected her relationship. Because even after she got sober, she's been feeling like a disconnect with her family because she still has this weird sense of guilt. And I can really relate to that.
Okay.
When I first got sober, no matter even if you are sober, there's this huge sense of guilt of all the things you've done. And
right.
It's funny because like you can be in a good place, but you still haven't mended those bridges. And like I was reading about that with her father and I thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty cool.
All right. Thank you for sharing too, Missy.
No problem.
Yeah. I just had never heard of, gosh. I'd never heard about it. All right, now.
They call it Special K sometimes, too. But
okay.
I don't know.
All right. You don't know, but you heard so.
You've heard it.
Okay, now here's the headline that Grant handed me the minute I walked in the door. And he's like, I know you're going to like this. And Lori's gone, so you're really going to like it. It's about Angelina Jolie. And everyone knows Lori and my biggest fight ever on this radio station was over Brad Pitt and Angela Jolie. And I'm team Brad Pitt and she's team Angela. Okay, so here is what's going on now. And here's the headline. Sour grapes. Angelina Jolie is accused of vindictive plot to cut ex Brad Pitt out of a deal to offload their Chateau Marivelle in the vineyard.
Yeah.
Which makes the rosé. I always buy that for Lori because she loves it. And 160.
Like that specific one?
Oh, yeah. Marivelle. It's like $28. You know, it's got a really pretty bottle. The rosés have the pretty bottles. But anywho, here is what's going on. These two hate each other.
Yeah, it's pretty visceral.
This has been going on since 2016. It is the downest, dirtiest, dragged out divorce with children in the middle, everything you're absolutely not supposed to do. So what happened is Brad Pitt originally had a bigger share in this company that owns the vineyard. And then he had 60%. Angelina Jolie had 40%. He gave her 10%, so they would be equal partners 2 years or 3 years before their divorce, because we should be equal in this. But he spends a lot of money, and his team does, you know, bringing the wine out, marketing the wine, and creating the wine, and creating an income around this Chateau Marivelle wine. And she is trying to sell her shares without his knowledge and not giving him first rights of refusal, and could sell it flat out from under him because she owns 50%.
Yeah.
And so here's his team that does the work on the vineyard and marketing, the branding and selling of this and keeping it going. And she's like wanting to ditch her half of it. And it's another dirty, dirty, down, drag out, dirty lawsuit these two are involved in.
Wow. It's interesting, right? Like, why wouldn't she want somebody who's still in her kid's life to have 100% of this?
Because
right?
According to an inside source who knows Brad Pitt, he wants to hurt him because he fell out of love with her. There was the incident on the plane. I don't deny that.
Yeah.
But she, whatever. Those are my feelings. I have very strong ones. And isn't it nice what she's doing with the bees? We're talking about Angelina Jolie. I see Holly. I never can see Holly because where I just look at a brown wall. And I can see Holly now and she's smiling. She came in the room and she knows what I'm talking about. Now I have freedom because Lori's gone.
Yep. And so wait, when you got in this big fight, you were on team Jennifer Aniston?
No. Well, that was way before. We didn't, whatever. We were both on team Jen, but I was on team Brad Pitt because I think Angelina Jolie is a woman who doesn't have friends. And I always think of people who don't have friends, there's something going on there. And that's just my personal opinion about people. And that's something I would just take with me. If you can't keep friendships, you there's something up.
There's something going on.
So that's just it. But I loved your smile, Holly, when you walk in the room.
It's snowing.
And it's also another dirty, dirty thing these two are involved in. They can't get along. They can't even probably agree on what day of the week it is. I mean, these two hate each other. It's gross.
It's bad.
Imagine being their kids. And she does make a lot of PR calls to make sure that they're getting pictures of her out with the kids shopping because you don't just call someone and say, hey, I'm going to Whole Foods with my kids and wear high heels and be dressed up. You know, so I just don't like her. No matter how good she is for other things, I don't like her in this. All right, pass. It's time. I've got to say, I've vented. I feel better now.
I feel good.
I feel better now. When we come back, it is time for the Dirt Alert.
Mm.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Can we get even dirtier around here, Ollie?
Yeah, because we're going to talk about Camille Grammer.
Yes, please. All ears.
Camille Grammer claims she's known about Erica Jane and Tom Girardi's woes for nearly 2 years thanks to a fellow housewife.
Bethany.
When a fan asked Camille Grammer Saturday whether she'd heard of Tom and Erica's rumors, she responded, yes, one of the housewives mentioned it at Andy Cohen's baby shower back in January of 2019.
Mm-hmm. It was Bethany, because Bethany
tell her this.
No, it was her attorney friend that
Dennis. I know, but I believe Bethany knew. I believe Camille did not.
All right.
I believe that Camille is just saying she knew it because we all found out how Bethany knew in advance. Bethany doesn't talk to Camille.
All right, fine.
Fine.
Well, all right, here are some of the people. I mean, basically could be anybody, because Page Six is running down the guest list for the baby shower. I mean,
everyone was there.
Everybody was there. Exactly. Now, it could be anybody from Ramona Singer, Dorinda Medley, Ashley Darby from The Real Housewives of the Potomac, even some people from The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Right.
I mean, it literally could be anybody.
Or she could just say she knows this because now we all know it. Because it's Camille and she always wants to insert herself. We don't care, Camille, about what you think or know, because it's not much.
Okay. Oof. She can't stand her. We Hollywood spoke this a little earlier too, Holly, and she's like, I don't believe one word out of that woman's mouth.
She's somebody you should worry about. I don't think she's ever had a girlfriend in her life.
I believe you on that one too.
Because when she came on Real Housewives her first season, she just went after Kyle because she claimed Kyle said something crazy to her, like, oh, you're only famous because of your husband. It's like, Kyle wouldn't say that. And so she spent the whole season.
May think it.
But yeah, Camille,
not held in high regard here, no. I take it. Yeah, well, you know, she was just responding to some rando on Twitter, so it's not like she was asked this in a formal capacity. She's just tweeting it out. Yeah, speaking of Kyle Richards, she's in the movie Halloween Kills.
I know. Wasn't she like in the first Halloween?
Yeah, she was one of the little girls that Jamie Lee Curtis was babysitting. Halloween Kills is going to be out October 15th. Julia, I know you have your calendar marked.
You know how I like the scary movies.
Yeah, and she played the character of Lindsay Wallace, Kyle Richards did in the original Halloween back in 1978 when she was 9 years old.
I'm trying to think of a time that I've, as an adult, watched her act. Is she any good?
You know, I can't answer that. I cannot answer that at all.
I know she had the show, but she wasn't on that one American Woman. She wasn't on that, but she was...
She's acted her whole life.
As a kid actor.
Right.
But I don't know when's the last time we've seen her. It'll be interesting. I'm in. I'll watch it.
Yeah, all right. Halloween Kills. Scary stuff. Just in time for the spooky season. Out October 15th. Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos sharing marital advice with all of us. Mm-hmm. Kelly Ripa joking that she uses sex to settle their issues. They settle their issues with sexy
time.
Listen,
I can think of a worse way to do it.
Well, yeah, I can, too.
I mean, I think if you can settle arguments
by... It's not real. I know. That's what Holly's trying to say.
I know.
It's more likely they're just going to passive-aggressively yell at each other and then maybe go and sleep in separate rooms. So this is what she was saying on Live with Kelly and Ryan. She said, everything for Mark is settled with love. Love and sexy time.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had these headlines. Welcome back, Kelly Ripa, talking about your hot marriage with Mark Consuelos. I feel like we haven't had much of this for the past summer. They kind of took a breather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is good because you're supposed to let it breathe.
Nothing's more unsexy when you're pissed off at your husband. Like, there's not a bone in my body. And I love my husband. Love him. You know, I always have to say that. I always hate Justin.
You really don't want to get it on when you're, can't stand each other.
When you're pissed off about something, it blows my mind to be like, all right, make out. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. We don't want to make out.
No.
But maybe Kelly and Mark do. They obviously like to show it off on Instagram.
Yeah, they do.
Fine, I'll watch.
It would be so embarrassing to do that with your significant other on social media.
I agree.
I don't even want to hold hands in public. The hands get too sweaty.
You're so funny about that, though. Oh. I love holding hands, and I don't mind a little PDA, but on social media, lifting up my, because he's got, lifting up her skirt. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot between these two.
Yeah, it's so painful to think about how those pictures came about. It's so painful.
Oh,
it's she must rude. Have those underwear.
Yeah. And then I just never, with Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos, I can never forget the time that Kelly Ripa maybe omitted that she was broadcasting.
Oh, in the Bahamas.
Virgin
Islands.
In the British Virgin Islands. She just kind of omitted that. And then they ran this whole story, during the height of COVID.
Yeah. She kind of lied on her location and lost a lot of people during that.
Well, and then it was like, oh, yes, of course I found this caftan. I love it so much. It was Mark's mom's caftan. Oof. Who knew?
Of course there's an ocean outside my window in New York City in my penthouse. It was bad.
That's
that was
so bad.
I have forgiven her on that one, though.
Oh, that story always tickles me. So thank you, Kelly Ripa, for providing that comedy. Ana de Armas has been pictured for the first time with her new boyfriend.
Who is it?
He is a Tinder executive. Named Paul Bukadakis.
That rolls off the tongue.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I said that correctly. And they were spotted walking through an airport. You wouldn't know them from anybody else. And this is 8 months after she split with Ben Affleck. So she's
Is he cute?
I can't really tell.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a picture of it.
Yeah, they're both masked walking in the airport. I mean, he's not ugly.
You never know what's under a mask, though. You never. Like, and I mean that in the nicest ways. Like, I think I look so hot under a mask.
Yeah.
And then you take it off and it's like, oh, great.
Yeah. And then you forget that you have to put on a mask and you'd already put on a big red lip. And then it's just like smeared all over your face. And it's just like, well, okay.
He doesn't look hot.
No, get a no. Brittany?
I'm giving you a no.
I'm still in the Google world trying to find him without a mask. I know.
Look at his body.
Look at his body.
You're not attracted to that. No.
I'm not attracted to it. Okay. I found his face. It's not so bad.
Isn't it? Okay.
All right.
He's just okay.
Well, is he hotter than Ben Affleck?
No, but I feel like the Ben Affleck thing gets me because I kind of like him.
I do too.
Okay. I just want to send a special shame to the Daily Mail because they're publishing these photographs of Raquel Welch just out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that she's flaunting her busty figure while just walking down the street and being... anybody who is walking down the street.
How dare she?
How dare she have a human body walking down the street? Now, I will say that she is kind of touching her bosom.
Oh, I see her. That is...
How dare they?
You know, there's a similarity right now. I can't even say it out loud. Can I?
I don't know, Julia.
What? What do you want to...
I can't.
Okay.
Caitlyn Jenner?
No.
Yeah. The long hair, the hat. Look it from far away. I'm wearing glasses today. Look.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the long hair, the hat. That's all I'm giving you.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, come on, Daily Mail.
That's not a nice thing to do.
She's literally existing.
She is
like, full covered shirt. Not like it matters. Not like it should matter. It shouldn't. But she's literally just existing.
You know, we can all look absolutely horrific at times.
Oh, my God.
Who wants their photo on the cover of a newspaper?
And saying that you're flaunting when you're just living your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Daily Mail also was doing that to Denise Richards when she was walking through the airport, calling her disheveled.
Yes.
When it was literally, that is what we all look like when we're walking through the airport wearing
a mask on.
With a mask, sneakers, and a sweatshirt.
Add food stains to me, and then that's on my level. Like,
yeah, because when you get a pretzel from the food court and you don't have any napkins, what's a girl to do?
What's a girl to do? Flaunt my stuff.
Yes. Flaunt it. Flaunt yourselves, ladies. And that's the dirt for today.
Thanks, Holly.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori.
Everybody knows.
Everyone knows that, duh.
Everybody knows. Well, that academic skimmer is not here today, so you're going to get a dyslexic skimmer. So we'll see what comes out of this one.
Well, the teacher's assistant is stepping up.
Maybe.
And we are here for it.
All right, let me tell you something. So,
tell me, girl.
So today we had the great joy of learning more about the apple.
You're welcome.
Thank you, because that was...
What fact are you going to hold near and dear and think about later?
I'm going to remind myself to eat more. And then I love apples, and I forget about them. I don't buy them. I hate grocery shopping, but whatever. So here is the deal. Mm. Today in the study of duh.
Tell me.
Here's the headline. Fruit, vegetables, and exercise may be the key to a happy life. I think we've known this, that fruit, eating more fruit and vegetables and exercise all make you do better.
Yeah.
Feel better. So this is just hot off the press, according to the Journal of Happiness Studies. And there is a journal. They just say that a happy life may come down to what's in your diet. It's the first of its kind study. Researchers from the University of Kent and Reading demonstrated that these lifestyle changes people make are happier in comparison to individuals who are eating a lot of crap and keeping their same old diet. They said that consuming fruit and vegetables and exercising positively impact levels of happiness, not just well-being, but happiness. So good things come to those who wait. They discovered that our ability to delay gratification, something I'm so good at, wink, wink, and apply self-control, another thing I'm good at.
Super good at. We just ripped into a bag of M&Ms.
I know. It plays into a huge part into influencing our lifestyle decisions. In turn, this has a positive impact on our well-being. Scientists have also confirmed that men appear to exercise more, while women are more likely to eat more fruits and vegetables. So imagine if you can put them all together.
Yeah.
Eat more fruit, eat more vegetables and exercise. I will just say.
What?
When I am feeling low.
Yeah.
I am guaranteed I'm eating too many carbs.
Yeah.
I'm not exercising like I want to be. I'm going into the pity party me stuff. I mean, if you documented it, like, okay, I exercise these days, I'm feeling good, everything's good. And then when you don't eat like crap, you just go in the sink, the dumpster.
You know what's funny? So my mom has a saying. Beverly has a saying.
Hi, Bev.
Hey, Bev. You pay for it now or you pay for it later. Mm-hmm. So like whenever we're at somewhere and I'm like, oh my gosh, that salad place I go to, or if I'm buying expensive, you know, fruit and veggies, cause they're spendy. They add up. Apples are expensive.
Yes, they are.
And my mom says, you pay for it now or you pay for it later. And
it's kind of like a minute on the lips, forever on the hips.
Yeah. But she even just like overall health. You know, and my mom says it constantly. I was like debating on what, you know, I don't know if I want to do a gym membership. You pay for it now or you pay for it later. And I was like, Ma, that's such a good saying.
It is. And if you want to be on the tennis team, you got to join.
No, you don't.
Well, you are. It'd be helpful for all of us if you did. But you're right. I think there's just something to all this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a duh thing, though, but I think
it is so duh, and it's something back to basics, right? Like you said, like, when are you, if, what do you do when your things are going right, when their things are due, when
it's 100% correlates to how you feel about yourself and how you feel about yourself. I feel 14,000 times better if I move.
Yeah.
20,000 times better if I, you know, eat real normal food.
Yeah.
That's good for you.
It's, and it's funny. There's a list I had to make a long time ago in a 30-day experience that I went to 10 years or 11 years ago, where we had to make a list of what we do when things are going good and what we do when things, you know, going bad. But the things are going good, that's the key one. Look, make a list of what you do when things are going good. And if you're having a rough week, start doing those things.
Yeah.
And it will follow. You don't know what comes first sometimes. And sometimes, yeah, yeah, and sometimes it's basic, like the list of eating right, washing my face, brushing my teeth, you know, brushing my hair, like things, whatever. It's like, sometimes you can fool yourself into kicking back into that good mindset.
But. Yeah, I like that. I think that's good advice, Brittany. Very, very good.
Thank you.
All right. Here's another one. This is, seems like a no-brainer, but you're breathing wrong, maybe.
You're breathing wrong, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Tell me. I don't know.
This is, many people misunderstand how our bodies produce energy.
Tell me.
A science journalist and author of Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art. We get most of our energy from our breath, not from food or drink. Our bodies process about 30 pounds of air every day compared to only a few pounds of food and water.
Depends on the day.
I know, true. There's a reason why you can survive weeks without food, days without water, and only minutes without air. And so it goes on to say that really, experts agree there are benefits to proper breathing, which is achieved with slower breathing, less inhales and less exhales per minute. But basically, keeping your mouth closed and breathing in and breathing out through your nose.
In theory.
In theory. And old yoga, 5,000 years ago, yoga practice was not about downward dogs or warrior poses. It was first and foremost a technology of breathing.
Oh, no, here's the thing. I have a deviated septum that I've had surgery on. I can't always breathe through my nose.
Well, I thought of this last night. So I'm playing singles, and I usually play doubles, and I'm playing against a little energy bunny.
Yeah, Molly.
Who just doesn't run out of energy.
So annoying.
And so the first set, somehow I won. Something came. I was like Serena Williams. I don't know.
Everyone thought so. Everyone's been talking about it.
No, I know. I know.
At the club.
No, it was wild. I just, something came out. But then the second set, the minute it was the first game, I'm serving and I'm like, and I'm trying to breathe into my nose and out through my nose because I know you get more energy that way.
Yeah.
They say that when you're exercising, but I believe that this is true, and slowing down your breath.
Do you get weirdly embarrassed? So whenever I play tennis or do anything, I get weirdly embarrassed if anybody was to know that I was breathing heavy.
Oh, I don't care.
So I hide it. Like, no, I'm not saying like it's like a really conscious thing where but it's like something where you're just like, good game. Like, you know, like try not to show any weakness. And I think maybe because I think you're all trying to attack me at some point. But like if I go up a stairs, if I was walking up the stairs with, let's say,
me?
You.
Well, you're 30 years younger.
And I would hide the fact if I was breathing heavy, I'd hide
you
it.
You should. Because you should. You should be able to lap me. But you know what I mean? I don't care at this point. I don't care. I just bounce the balls more.
I was
bouncing the ball. It's like bounce number 32. My partner's like, are you going to serve?
I hide it. I hide all weakness just in case.
I don't care that
just
much.
Just in case you want to take me on. You think, oh, she's got good cardio.
But I did realize I needed to do more cardio.
That got to you.
Yeah, that did. All right. And people are happier on the weekend. That's a study of doubt. We already know it, but they did do a study of it. And people hate Mondays. Basically, people filled out a form for 21 days, and they just found that people just hate Mondays.
What would make Mondays good for you, ignoring the fact saying not work? What would make a good Monday for you? I would be like if I had like dinner plans Monday night.
Oh yeah, I think it was fun having something to look to, like tennis or something that I really like to do on a Monday night. You know, that helped.
All right.
I would like to have something to look forward to.
We should work on rebranding Mondays.
How?
Call them like second Sunday.
No, because Sundays used to make me sick. I remember back in the day and like my first job, I'd like get the cramps in the stomach and the diarrhea at noon.
I actually think Sundays are worse than Mondays. The anxiety about that you're going to start your work week is worse than starting your work week.
The Sunday scaries.
The Sunday scaries.
Yep.
Oh, people. All right, well, we've accomplished a little bit and nothing at the same time, and we'll be back with the rest of the headlines.
You're welcome.
All right, everybody. Thank you for hanging out on this lovely Tuesday. Just a couple programming options for tonight. There's a new series that starts tonight on Fox at 8 o'clock called Our Kind of People. It's I believe it's a primetime soap set in the hip-hop music industry, with the summer playground background of Martha's Vineyards, and it's a melodrama. Begins when single mom Angela and a modern day madam with visions of a hair care empire opens a pop-up shop in the Bluffs where her mom was once a maid.
Okay.
And so Angela hopes this will be her entree into high society, but things are not going to happen like that. But I just kind of think it sounds fun. It looks juicy.
It looks okay. Yeah. It's funny that they would describe it as a soap. Like, that seems to me. But once they said, the dramedy-esque stuff. Yeah, it sounds good.
I think it sounds good. And then the other thing that starts tonight is I'm not going to tell you.
Don't ever tell me. I'm going to tell you something that Rocco sent us.
I'm going to keep it a secret.
Oh, okay, good. I love radio when you keep secrets.
I'll just do something.
Right, Rocco sent us this really epic article. It's in Advocate.
Okay.
Cassandra Peterson, you may know her as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yes.
She released her new memoir today called Yours Cruelly.
Oh, that's really clever.
Elvira. I have trouble saying it. Yours
cruelly.
Cruelly
is our... Yeah, cruelly.
Your butt hurts?
It does. It still hurts. In the process, came out by revealing her 19-year relationship with another woman.
Oh.
Teresa T. Wearson. And it's really interesting. So she goes in the book and talks about how they met. And as all good relationships start, it started in a Gold's Gym.
When
Peterson spotted what she thought at the time was the hottest bad boy in Tinseltown, she said, often when I was doing my pre-workout warm-up on the treadmill, I couldn't help noticing one particular trainer, tan, tattooed, and muscular, walking across the gym. And then, to her surprise, her bad boy was actually a bad girl.
Okay.
When she ran into her in the ladies' room later. And then they became good friends.
Right.
And then after Peterson's marriage, her 25-year marriage, they started a romantic relationship.
I love that.
I know.
I love that. Good for her.
I know. Me too. I would like, I want to see them, doing things together. They look like they're both just a cute couple.
And Elvira has a special place in our heart because we spent a lot of time talking. Brittany loves her.
Yeah.
Rocco does too.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she's the type that anywhere she does interviews, because I've talked to her a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, I barely talked to her. Like other people I've been on air with talk to her. She's lovely.
Why don't you get her on for our book? Her book.
I'll try.
Yeah, we'll have her on a show.
I mean, I never was pulling those strings back in the day. I was like, hi, my name's Brittany. I'll get you online with the big guy. Thanks.
You could do it, Brittany.
I'm going to try.
I feel it.
It's Halloween, though. It'd be really hard to get her. Maybe I can get her like...
Oh, we'll get her at Christmas.
November 1st.
When she's less busy. Okay, tell me if this would drive you crazy. So this morning, I didn't have any cream for my coffee, so I go to my local gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up, and I thought, I'm here. I'll get gas. Put in my card, you have to prepay inside. I mean, that just, whatever. I'm like, really?
Yeah, why do you have to do that?
Seems a little strange.
Seems a little out of the blue. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just this end pump. And
yeah, I'm like, yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So I go inside and I get my cream. And I said, what's with the prepaying at the pump? And he says, yeah, all of our pumps you have to prepay now.
Why?
And he says, really? People have been driving off with gas. I said, this is going to really be bad for business. That's what I said to him. I'm not coming here. I was so bummed because it's my convenient gas station.
Here's the thing. There is no anxiety like the anxiety of trying to guess how much money to prepay on a freaking tank. I have no idea. My husband the other day was like, hey, will you put money when you're in there? Because after tennis, he was like, will you go put,
Was it a prepay tank?
And yes, we had to prepay. And he goes, I go, how much? I don't know.
Is this the 30? New trend?
What?
You had to do this at a gas station by you?
Yeah, but it's because we didn't have our card. We only had the chip thing.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
No, I have full on credit card. And I
if it's already set up in the credit card, why would you have to prepay? Because it has your, you can charge it.
I have no idea. I said, this is a bad decision.
I love how you act like by any means you're going to not go there because it's gas station.
No, I won't.
Where are you going to go?
I have to find a different gas station.
I mean, if it's close to your house,
I'm not going to go in the middle of winter and get out of my car and go and say, I want $28, please. I mean, I have no idea.
What happens if you pay too much on your card?
Well,
do they give it back?
I'm sure somehow. Who knows? But how manning would that be not to be able to just get your gas at the pump?
It'd be, honestly, as somebody who doesn't want to deal with anybody, like, it'd be terrible.
So you understand my...
It would honestly be the worst thing that could happen to a person.
And I'm not going
to
say the brand.
The brand? You mean the company?
Yes, I'm not going to say
I'm not going to tell you what brand gas I use, but let me just tell you.
Oh, I was so mad. I was so mad.
I just can't believe that they would...
I said, this is going to be bad for businesses. He goes, I know. And I said, well, I'm not coming back.
And they're like, and lady, like, we have all
he's
the
like,
gas.
Lady, I'm used to seeing you at 2 in the morning coming in for 2 pints of Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. You don't have to stick to this. I know your fingers are crossed.
Listen, I've acted like I haven't seen you 3 times in a day before. I have no problem pretending this conversation never happened.
I've seen you trying to pretend you're someone else in your baseball hat.
Man, sometimes it feels so good to tell somebody, like, I'm not coming back here. Like, back in the day, I feel like I've said it's a sprint, like, or, like, different things, like, 100 times. And they're like, no, you're not getting out of your contract. Like, especially back in the day when you, like, had phone contracts.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, lady, you're far too lazy to fill out a form.
Exactly.
Like, we'll see you next month. And I'm like, yep, you will.
But it does feel good to say that.
If sometimes,
and the guy,
I don't care if that makes me a Karen sometimes. You know, sometimes it feels good to be a Karen.
You got
to
let it out.
I said, this is not on you. And he goes, I know. And I said, I just think this is not a good decision.
Listen, let me talk to corporate. Get him on the horn.
Well, we had sad news today. Sarah Dash, who sang on Lady Marmalade with Patti LaBelle, died. And she had just performed with Patti LaBelle like a week or so ago, and they famously did the song Lady Marmalade in 1974. It was a big hit.
Because, I mean, when it came out, who was it? Pink.
Christina
Aguilera.
Christina Aguilera.
Lil' Kim.
And?
I want to say Maya?
I don't know, but that was in the Baz Luhrmann Moulin Rouge. But anyway, she was awesomely talented, beautiful, and a loving soul. Patti LaBelle says, and will live on in so many lives, and it... No one knows, have said yet why she died, but she was super young, only 76 years old, and that's right around the corner for me.
Okay, take it easy.
I know, but anyway.
How does it apply to your life? Well, it's been lovely, Julia.
I know, but that's sad. All right, everyone have a great night. We do have a fun show planned for you tomorrow, but there's good shows.
Stop,
too early to talk about it. Everyone have a great night. Don't forget to do your homework, Brittany.
I will.